couple of weeks ago, I put these three pictures on Facebook to introduce the upcoming series. And I said, if you can figure out what the three pictures have in common, then you'll be close to understanding, getting an idea of where we're headed with the series. If you look at them carefully, you can kind of start to put some of it together. You got the couple up here in the top left, and you can tell that he has a ring box, so he is proposing marriage. Now, if she says yes, we'll say that couple is engaged. Right. Here you got students that are so into what they're doing. Look at how excited they are to learn. They're working at it. They got their pencils up. They're working together, and they're engaged in the learning process, right? And then, of course, one of my heroes, Jean-Luc Picard. Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise in Star Trek, The Next Generation. The first season, you don't see it quite as often later, but in the first season of The Next Generation, almost every episode ended the same way. They would lay in a course for their next destination, and then Captain Picard would say, engage. And they would take off to the next destination, and we would go to commercial and have to wait for a whole week to find out where they went. Engage. Let's look at them a little bit more carefully as we consider the ways, the means of engagement. First, he is saying to her, I commit the rest of my life to you. Would you commit the rest of your life to me? Engagement carries with it a level of commitment. The more engaged we are, the deeper that commitment. The students are engaged in their learning, and what that means is they are focusing their attention on what they're doing. They're not distracted by all the other stuff that's going on around them. They're not thinking about when is the class going to be over so we can go to lunch. You know, I know that never happens at church. When is the preacher going to set up so we can go eat barbecue? That kind of thing. Engaged. They're focused. They have all of their attention on what they're doing, and a certain amount of engagement involves paying attention. And then, of course, one of the greats, Picard. Picard takes us to the point where it's time to take action. A part of being engaged is taking action, doing something. They had already beaten the bad guys that week, and they had already solved all of the problems, and they had saved the world. Actually, they had saved the entire Federation, probably. But now it's time. It's time to move on, to go to the next thing. It's time for action. And so he says, engage. I want us to think about those three concepts of engagement as we begin this series together. One talks about a commitment, perhaps even a life commitment. The other talks about paying attention and being focused. And the third talks about taking action as we are engaged. So what we're talking about over the next few weeks together is being fully engaged. And I want to use that on purpose because many of us, are engaged in our work, and we're engaged in our play, and we're engaged in our community, and we're engaged in the church, kind of all equally. But the thing is, when we just kind of give the church about what we give to everyone else, and we think that's giving what we're supposed to God, we've completely missed the boat, because God calls us to a full engagement with Him. Not just the church. Not just one of many things, but to be fully engaged with Him. And that's what we're going to be dealing with over the next few weeks together. There's another image that I want us to think about as we go through this. You've noticed today our use of the gears. You see it on the banner. You see it on the graphics. And, last week when you picked up a card that you were going to hand out to invite people to come to the series, you noticed the gears on there. By the way, there are more cards on the table as you leave. You can pick those up and invite others to join us. But think about the gears. Until the gears actually come into relation with one another, they come into contact with one another, they don't really serve their purpose and they can't accomplish what they were created for. It is when they come into contact with one another and they work together that they engage one another and they can effectively do that for which they were created. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about important relationships. We're going to talk about some of the relationships in which we have to be connected and engaged for it to work well. So when you see the gears on the different graphics and the promotional materials, remember what that is. It's about relationships in which we can engage with one another to be effective. With that in mind, we're going to talk about how we can be fully engaged with our family, how we can be fully engaged with our friends, how we can be fully engaged with our church, and how we can be fully engaged with our community. That's where we're headed over the next 4 weeks ahead. But in order for us to understand all of those types of engagement, we have to start with the most important one. And so this morning we start with being fully engaged in my walk with God. Being fully engaged in my walk with God. Not just leftovers. Not just secondhand. Not just part-time. But being fully engaged. And remember what that means. Commitment, paying attention, and taking action in my walk with God. To help us with that, we're going to start with what will be our theme verse for the whole series, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. If you have your copy of Scripture, you can turn there. Remember, it's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. If you don't have your copy of a Bible with you, no worries. We printed it for you at the top of your worship order. If you look inside your worship folder, at the top of the order there, you'll see the verse printed for you. And it says simply this: the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. He's looking for something. Matter of fact, He's looking for someone. The eyes of the Lord. Now, you and I know that when we put human characteristics on God, that's just so we can more fully understand Him. You and I know that God doesn't have physical eyes with which He is searching, but it's a way for us to understand the concept that God is actively searching out. He is looking from one side of the earth all the way around the other side. He is constantly searching to and fro across creation. For whom? The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Why is it that we think God is watching us to make sure we behave? That just doesn't come from Scripture. Maybe it comes from parents who taught that to make their kids scared enough to be good. I don't know. But it doesn't come from Scripture. God is not looking across creation to make sure we behave. Instead, what is He doing? He's looking across creation to find those whom He can strengthen. And who will be the ones that He strengthens? Those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You say, God hasn't done anything in my life. Well, for one thing, that's not true. For another thing, you might feel that way because you're not fully committed to Him, and so you are not sensing the strength that He wants to bring you. Scripture says He is looking all over the world to find those who are fully engaged with Him. And when He finds those who are fully engaged, what is that? Commitment, attention, and action. When He finds those who are fully engaged with Him, what does He do? He strengthens them to continue their walk, to continue their life in a meaningful and powerful way. This is the promise. He is looking. He will strengthen us when we are fully engaged with Him. And isn't it wonderful to know that He is the source of strength when we are fully engaged with Him? You have figured out by now that when you do this life all on your own, it gets confusing and messed up awful quick. You know that. You've lived long enough to experience that. Isn't it good to know that the one who created us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, is also actively involved wanting to strengthen us, give us what we need in order to accomplish this life in a meaningful way. And what He asks of us? Be fully engaged with Him. Commitment, attention, action. Be fully engaged with Him and He will strengthen us to accomplish that for which we were created. There is a key truth that I want you to get this morning, and it's going to lay the foundation for the whole rest of the series. Key truth for this morning's message is also the foundation for the entire series, and that is this. The key truth is that God is fully engaged with me. God is fully engaged with me. His engagement with me, commitment, attention, action, His engagement with me does not go up one day and down the next. He's not in tune with where I am and what I need today and ignoring me tomorrow. He is fully engaged with me. Let me show you how we can be sure of that. I'm going to take just a little bit of time and read for you Psalm 139. If you have a copy of Scripture, you may want to turn there with me. Psalm 139. We're going to take a little bit of time and look through this wonderful, powerful psalm as we get a sense of what it means that God is fully engaged with us. Listen, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost, and by the way, that doesn't mean God is afar. That means before my thought even gets close to me, God already understands it. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. You see how He is engaged fully in our lives. Verse 7 says, where could I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that means the grave, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to Thee, for Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works. You care about me. You know me. You made me. And you love me anyway. God is fully engaged with us. He is fully engaged with me. That psalm ends with a powerful prayer. The last two verses of that great psalm, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." In other words, God, since you are fully engaged with me, look at my heart and look at my head. Look at my heart, my thoughts. And then look at my actions. And tell me if I'm fully engaged with you. Because he is fully engaged with us, our first thought, our first question, our first concern is, am I fully engaged with him? You say, well, how do we know for sure that he's engaged with us? The psalm makes it beautifully, powerfully clear. But we also know that he is fully engaged with us when we look at the cross of Jesus Christ. God shows his engagement to us through Jesus Christ. God became man in order that he would be with us. The prophet said Jesus was going to be born. He said, "You're going to name him Emmanuel, God with us." God came to be with us in the person of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin. Jesus came back to life to bring us victory over sin, death, and hell. Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father to intercede for us in order that the Holy Spirit then could come down and fill us and lead us. You see how fully he has been engaged in our lives. He shows his engagement to us through Jesus Christ. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that this verse is something that children are supposed to learn and then we outgrow it. You'll never outgrow the power of these words right here in John 3:16. You will never outgrow the truth that we find, the life-changing, eternity-changing truth that we find in these powerful words. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has demonstrated that he is fully engaged with us through the person of Jesus Christ. The amazing thing then is that we now show God that we're engaged with him in a very similar way. We show our engagement with God through Christ-likeness. God proved that he was engaged with us through Jesus Christ. We prove that we're engaged with God as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Our Christ-likeness demonstrates that we are fully engaged with him, that we're focused on him. He is the center of our attention. He is the one to whom we have committed our lives. And he is the one for whom we are willing to act in this life. We're fully committed to him. It's going to show up as we become more and more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 is a fun verse for folks who like to kind of debate theology. This is the verse that folks spend hours on debating. I want to show you something in this verse this morning. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Now, as soon as I read that, you saw the word predestined, and you immediately took sides on predestination or not predestination, Arminianism and Calvinism, you immediately took sides because this is the verse we use to argue. I want to suggest to you today that when we do that, we miss the major point of the verse. Look at it again. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to what? Be conformed to the image of his Son. In the context, that is the major point of this verse. The major point of the verse is God set it up so that you and I, his people, would become more like his Son. That's the major point. My question to you, as you look at life, your life, as you look at your level of commitment, your level of attention, and your level of activity, can you say, my life shows a Christ-likeness that proves that I am fully engaged with God? That is the key question for today and the series. We looked at the key truth. God is fully engaged with me. Now the key question, am I fully engaged with him? And it's a question that only you can answer. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the answer to that if you're really willing to seek it out. Just like David at the end of that psalm prayed, search me, God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the right way. That is our prayer. Show me, God, how like Christ am I? Does my Christ-likeness demonstrate that I'm fully engaged? And if not, what is it that's keeping me from being fully engaged? There are many verses in Scripture that encourage us to take that kind of self-evaluation, to test self, to see what kind of commitment we have to the Lord. Just one of those great verses, Psalm 62, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Am I fully engaged with God? Here are some things that you might want to ask yourself as you go through that self-examination. Remember, we can evaluate whether or not we're fully engaged with God by how much like Christ we are, okay? Ask yourself some of these questions. Do I worship the Lord every day? Is worship just a Sunday morning activity, or is it a way of life for me? Do I worship in some way every day? Do I have a meaningful connection to the body of Christ? If the church is the body of Christ, then the more like him I become, the more I want to be connected in his body. Do I have a meaningful connection in the body of Christ? Another question you might ask yourself, am I reading and living the Bible every day? Is that a part of my life, or do I wait for someone else to read it and tell me what it says? Am I sharing my faith with others? If it's real to me and I let it change me, I almost can't keep quiet about it. Another question you might ask, do I live with an inner peace? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in me, he brings peace. Do I live with an inner peace? Another question you might ask is, do I find joy in serving? Now, be honest about that one. Most of us find joy in being served. Most of us find joy in someone doing for us. Most of us find joy in being recognized. Do I find joy in serving? Remember, it was Jesus on the last night he was with his disciples who wrapped the towel around his waist, washed their feet, and said, now if you're mine, you do this for one another. So if we're going to be like him, we're going to find joy in serving. Another question you might ask, has my faith enabled me to forgive others? These are the kinds of questions that we want to wrestle with. Do I worship every day? Am I meaningfully connected to the body of Christ? Am I reading and living the Word? Am I sharing my faith with others? Do I have an inner peace? Do I find joy in serving? Has my faith enabled me to forgive? You answer those questions and you'll be able to determine how engaged are you with God. He is fully engaged with you. Are you fully engaged with Him? Mark 12 challenges us to be that engaged. Experts in the law came up to Jesus one time and they said, you know, there's a bunch of rules, bunch of commandments, bunch of laws. Out of all those laws, what's the most important one? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Why? Because if you're going to do that, if you're going to love the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, you are fully engaged with Him. So this morning, there's a good checklist. Do I love Him with all of my heart? Or is it half-hearted? Do I love Him with my whole soul, every part of me that makes me me? Do I love Him with my mind, the way I think? Do I love Him with all my strength? Am I willing to take action? Key truth, God is fully engaged with me. Key question, am I fully engaged with God? The great thing is, if we recognize today that we're not fully engaged, we're partially engaged, we love God, we go to His church, we take the name Christian, we're partially, but if we recognize today that we're not fully engaged, we don't have to beat ourselves up and feel guilty and leave church with our tail between our legs, because He's told us what to do about it. If we recognize we're not fully engaged with Him, James 4, come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Tells us what to do. Change. Repent. Whatever's getting in the way of that full engagement, quit it. Come to God, and He will come to you. Why? Because He is already looking for you. Remember where we started? He's looking all over His creation for those people whose hearts are fully committed to Him. So you make that commitment to Him, you become fully engaged, come to Him, He will come to you because He's already on His way, looking for you. I wonder if this is your time. Today's your day to say once and for all, I want to be fully engaged with Him. I understand that means a level of commitment, means paying attention to Him, and taking action. And today, I'm going to step up and be fully engaged. Father God, if that is where we are this morning, point of recognizing that we've been partially committed, we've been half-heartedly following, we've not been fully engaged, then, Lord, change that for us. Move by Your Holy Spirit that we might walk away from the stuff that is distracting us, that we might pay attention, be committed, and take action in a way that makes us like Jesus, in a way that helps us to be fully engaged with You. Help us with that, Lord. Help us to come to you, knowing that you then will come to us. We ask that you'd guide us during this time of commitment, this time of decision. May your will be done and your Son be glorified during these next few minutes is our prayer in his name.